Hey, everybody, and welcome to the NFL Roadshow with Lindsay Rhodes. And this week, a guy you might have heard of, played for a minute or two in the NFL, one of the very best wide receivers of all time with 14,000 plus receiving yards, over 1,000 catches, 82 touchdowns, should be in the Hall of Fame, will be in the Hall of Fame. I am, of course, talking about Reggie Wayne, who all of you know from his time with the Colts. I got a chance to know him a little bit differently as a colleague for several years at NFL Network. Became an even bigger fan of him during that time. One of my absolute favorites to work with. Quick with a smile, easy to be around, loves his Miami Hurricanes, loves a good cigar, recently developed a love for cycling, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about how he got into that and how people respond to him on the road. Can you imagine pulling up next to him at a light? But first, I am especially interested to hear about his new job as the wide receivers coach for the Colts. He just took that job in mid-March, and for someone who was seemingly enjoying retirement as much as he was, he uses the hashtag #finallyliving on almost all of his posts. I'm really curious to hear what the transition from that to coaching has been like, because coaching is, as I'm sure you guys know, a massive time commitment, like pre-sunrise to post-sunset type of thing. And a lot of former players that I talk to cite that as the reason they don't go into it. So I'm curious about how he's adapting to being that guy in the building, and also how he intends to coach. What's his style? He's never done it before. What are his priorities? What has he taken from coaches that he's worked with in the past that he likes? And conversely, what has he seen coaches do that he has sworn to never do? It's a really interesting room that he takes over too, very young. So I'm eager to get his thoughts on them. More than anything, though, to be honest, I'm just excited to catch up with my bud. It's been a while. I love him to death. I think you will too. So let's break the huddle with Weezy.
Hello, let's go!
Two on two. Ready? Three.
Reggie, I don't know that I would have pegged you for somebody that was going to go into coaching.
It wasn't in my wheelhouse. It's only a couple people I would have did this for, and Frank Wright was one of the people. And he asked me, and I finally jumped it. You know what I mean? After 4 years of asking, at some point in time, he's going to stop asking me. So, you know, I just tried it out and see if I can put another chapter in the book, and let's see where it goes.
Do you like it so far?
So far, so good. So far, I am enjoying it. The best part about it is the on-the-field stuff. I enjoy, you know, teaching and seeing guys, you know, out there actually doing the work. The part I can't stand is all the meetings. All the meetings. So, you know, like, I'm not a coffee drinker, but I can see somewhere in here I'm going to start drinking coffee to find a way to stay up. I know it's coming. I'm trying to stay away as long as I can, but I know it's coming.
It's like a Total Access production meeting times 30.
Times 35. Add five more than that. Like, it is nuts. And it goes forever. It goes forever. And right when you think you got a breather, then you got another meeting with the players. And then you got the whole unit. Then you got staff. And then, you know, one day you think you got extra 30 minutes of sleep, and then all of a sudden, you know, Frank Wright has a 7:30 meeting in the morning. And I mean, I'm like, I just want to lay down. I just want to sleep. And it doesn't help that I got a spot downtown Indianapolis, and there's a doggone train that's not too far away, and I keep hearing the train every day.
You need a different spot.
I do.
Far away from the train. That's how you should look for the real estate. Like, how far away from trains are you?
Well, you know what's the funny part is, I asked him, I say, I see these train tracks. Now, this train is not going to affect my sleeping, is it? And he's like, oh, not where you know where your unit is. No, you'll be fine.
What are you, new? Come on. He's trying to sell the spot.
The first night, the damn train, I'm like, oh my God. He got me.
Sucker!
Set me up. Oh, you got me. It's all good, though. It's so fun.
Are these meetings more productive than most work meetings that the rest of us are familiar with? Or is it kind of like same, where some of it applies to you and the rest of it you sort of have to listen to?
Not at all. It all applies. You know, if I was a player, it all wouldn't apply. But me being a coach now, it definitely applies because, like, I'm kind of like in two worlds. Like, I'm still trying to learn the playbook. I'm watching film. I'm watching, you know, and trying to learn the way that they do things. So it's like everything that they're saying, I'm writing down. Like, I've already counted. I've numbered all my papers. I'm at, in my notebook, 150. So my page 150 is where I am.
How many pages are there?
Well, that's actually 150 of me writing notes. That's what that is.
Oh, what?
Yes. Yes. I'm at 150. So it's like, I got to learn the run game. I got to learn the passing game. I got to learn all these different concepts and all these different splits. They're doing things a little different from what I'm used to, you know what I mean? But that's fine. I'm all for that. But some stuff I'm like, that's perfect. You know, some stuff I'm like, that makes no sense whatsoever. But it's worked for them. That's what they do. So I got to get on board, and I'm just trying to figure all those things out. So I'm a teacher. I'm a student. I'm a little bit of everything right now. So it's kind of overwhelming. I put it like this. I couldn't wait for this 5-week break. And what I couldn't wait. Yeah, I needed a woosah. Yeah. I needed a woosah. And now that I finally, you know, I've already started. I got a few weeks left. So I'm actually, one thing that these meetings have taught me, Lindsay, is be more productive with your day. Like, now I'm like Peyton Manning now. I'm jotting down everything I want to do every hour of the day. Like at 7:30, I want to get up and be fresh and be ready. You know, so it's like jotting down everything. So even with my break, with my vacation, every hour is accounted for.
You're like, I get him now.
Yeah, it makes sense. This is how he becomes one of the best. He knows exactly what's going to happen, what is going to happen, you know. So compared to just freelancing, when you're just coming from the beach,
yeah,
all of you know, and you set your alarm clock to wake up whenever, if you ever set it, compared to, you know, all of a sudden being a coach, it was tough. But I'm adjusting.
Did you know as a player that all of this goes into it?
Well, I did. You know, you hear all the stories. You know, I've had friends that's coached. You hear the coaches, you know, that I had at the time. They're talking about, you know, I had to be here early in the morning and do this and do that, you know. And you did know all that, you know. But at the same time, there's some little things that you just didn't know, you know what I mean? And for example, you know, when I got in there, I kind of went 100 miles per hour. So I get in there and automatically, my first day there is kind of like this. Hey, man, this is your office. Get comfy. Walk around. Get to know people. Man, this is where everything is. Then in the second day, bam! All of a sudden, I'm getting ready for combine. I'm doing, you know, evals. And I got 23 receivers. I got an eval. I'm like, what the hell you mean eval? You know what I mean? So, like, it's kind of like I was learning on the run. And, you know, I really had no time to sit back and actually do the things I enjoy doing. Like, smoking a cigar or something, you know, like I just didn't have the time to do that. So I just kind of had to get everything and keep it moving. And then it's like, soon as I kind of found my rhythm to sit down and be like, all right, that's over with. Now I can kind of take a breather.
Yeah.
You know, then all of a sudden OTAs kicked in. Like, oh, now I'm about to meet all the players. Here we go. Let's start all over again. Let's get it going. You know what I mean? So it never really ends. And I know, like, now that's kind of, you know, that stopped. And now here comes training camp. And then after training camp, here comes the season. So it's like, it's all these moving parts that I got to get accustomed to.
Yeah. You got to figure out what the day's calendar looks like so you can, you know, get that cigar session, 6:30,
I know,
whatever the time is.
I found time to get it in. I just, not as much as I want, which is probably a good thing, but.
Your brand, Reg, now is finally living. So you got to keep, you know, find a way to do that still.
I got to, you know, and sometimes it is funny you say that. Sometimes I sit in, you know, and during, you know, when I was there, I sit back and I was like, is this still considered finally living? or is this now hashtag trying to live? I don't know.
Finally living, hashtag no days off.
And no days off, all gas, no breaks. And that's BREAKS.
Right. Totally.
No breaks, but I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun. You know, I am, you know, I'm a history major. So it's like, you know, all my life, I just, you know, I've always wanted to teach. You know, this is just another form of teaching, you know. So I'm enjoying it. And the beauty about it is I have a young room. These guys, they bust their tails off. you know, every single day. They work hard and they take in all of the knowledge that I try to give them. And they go out there and on the field and try to do it. And that's the beauty. I guess this is what coaches enjoy. When you sit back, it's like looking at, you know, like a proud father. You know, you just sit back and just watching all of them out there actually trying to do it. And when it works, man, it's exciting. It really is.
It is an interesting dynamic because they are so young. Like, you've got a room of people like, you know, Pittman had a great year last year, but he's on that cusp of a potential breakout this season, right? You've got Paris, who everybody's talking about, you know, in the offseason, like he looked so good, ready to break out, trying to work for something, which is an interesting dynamic because you've got people that I would imagine are very receptive to everything that you want to throw at them from a teaching standpoint.
Absolutely. And even Michael Pittman Jr., you know, he's asking a lot of questions. He's coming over, you know, in between, you know, 7-on-7 and walk through. Like, he's coming, he just want all the knowledge, you know what I mean? And that's all you can ask for, guys that come in and just want to learn. And like you said, he was on the cusp of having that breakout, that huge year, you know, season. And I want to be a part of that. You know what I mean? I want to help him get there. And, you know, I think a big bonus for us is having a leader like Matt Ryan come in and kind of, you know, set the tone for the team and guys being able to follow his lead, you know. So, like, just the whole receiver room, man, there's a lot of young guys. Paris Campbell absolutely had a great offseason, I believe. You know, I think he's understanding his role. I think he understands what he has to do. Obviously, he has to stay healthy. He's had some bad luck, you know what I mean? But man, he looks good. You know, Michael Pittman Jr.'s look good. I mean, we got all these young guys that's just sitting up there chomping at the bit to get that opportunity to go out there and do something special. So I'm excited where we are. I really am. As a unit, as a room, I think as a team, we should be pretty good this year. Hopefully guys can continue to excel and keep that arrow going up, you know, and do some special things.
In terms of teaching, what kinds of things do you like teaching the most? Like, are you like looking for intricate details from a physicality standpoint? Are you talking about what the defense is likely to look like? Like, what is your wheelhouse in terms of teaching? What does that look like for you?
Well, it's a little bit of everything. Now, as far as the physicality, I can't do nothing about that. I mean, I can tell you, you know, there's the weight room. Go do it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the strength and conditioning can handle that. But as far as, you know, doing little things like, you know, techniques and fundamentals, doing drills. I'm a big drill guy, you know, just getting them out there and just doing it over and over and over and over again. You know, one thing about this young generation, I think I always say this, is like, we got to teach guys how to fight boredom. You know what I mean? Because when guys get bored, they want to do different things. Well, you don't have to do different things. You just have to keep doing it over and over and over. Like, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You know what I mean? The wheel actually, it works. It turns pretty good, you know? So, you know, it's one of those things. And then when we get in the classroom part, it's like you said, we get in the classroom. It's like, now I really turn into a super duper teacher. Cause now I'm telling my, this is what this defense does. This is what this guy is supposed to be. Cause I want these guys to understand, like the name of this game is longevity, right? You want to play as long as you possibly can, you know? And if you don't understand coverages, now you're just running in there, you know, like a dog, you know, chasing a bone. You know what I mean? Well, there's a dog catcher in there somewhere that's going to keep you from getting that bone. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things where if you know these defenses, you know where guys are supposed to be. And that way you can avoid getting carried out boots first on a gurney. You know what I mean? So it's like, just if you understand this and understand that, you know, it'll probably give you an extra few years on your career. You know what I mean? Granted, you know, defenses can't hit the way they used to, but still and all, you know, you get a couple of guys out there that will try to, you know, take your head off a little bit, you know, but yeah, man, it's just educating, giving them all the knowledge. So, you know, I enjoy, like I said, the field work, doing all the drills and doing all that stuff and seeing them work. And you know, when they start sweating, I'm like, all right, now you're working. You know what I mean? Now we're getting some work in, you know? So that's the beauty of it. That's the great part. That's the stuff I enjoy. You know, the stuff I enjoy when I'm playing, which was totally on the field, you know, going in, watching the film. And, you know, nobody really enjoys, you know, you learn the playbook as it goes. You know, that comes with the territory, but nobody really likes homework. You know what I mean? So, but to actually go out there on the playground and play for recess, oh, that's fun. You know, so let's go to recess. You know what I mean? So I enjoy, you know, all that parts of it, you know, but it's been a great journey. You know, I'm smiling. I am. I'm enjoying it. I don't know if it's because of the break finally got there or what, but I am enjoying it. And it's been fun. I'm around a great group of coaches, you know, that that makes it fun. You know, it's been good. You know, I go back and forth with the defense with Gus Bradley and all that stuff, our defensive coordinator. You know, we compete. I gotta have fun, Liz. If I'm not having fun, yeah, that it's gonna be hard for me. So I just try to find, you know, something that get me going every single day. And that's once we get on the field, mess with the defense. That's what we do.
Well, we've seen some of that mic'd up stuff. It looks like everybody there's having fun around you.
You got to. I mean, that's what it is. You know, one thing my offensive coordinator back in the day, Tom Moore, used to always say, he used to say, you got to love it, brother. You got to love it. You just can't be out here going through the motions. If you don't love it, you probably should go ahead and turn your retirement papers in. You know what I mean? And that's kind of how it is. Like, I love the game when I played it, and I still love it. I still was part of it. I still watched it. You know, I still was a fan. You know what I mean? So now it's just, I'm bringing on that same energy I had when I was playing to the coaching side of it.
How much of your style would you say is like you trying to take what coaches did around you that you didn't like, you know, and adjusting? Like, I'm, you know, that's, I think people parent that way, right? Like, this is what I did not like. I will never do that, you know, or, and this is what works for me. And,
well, you know, to be honest with you, a lot of the stuff, you know, not everything that I've done to this part so far, it's nothing of my own. It's from somebody, you know what I mean? And it's either from my coaching college, it's either from my coaches in the league. Like the stuff that I enjoyed doing, the stuff that I felt like helped me, you know what I mean? That's the stuff that I do for them. And then one thing I did with these guys, I say, hey, man, listen, I understand, you know, you go off and you got your gurus that's teaching you this and that during the off season. I say, you know what? How about I need each one of you guys to give me one of your favorite drills. Give me one of your favorite drills, right? And each day I'll throw in one of y'all drills. And since this is your drill, all right, you teach us, you show us, you go first. You know what I mean? So like, it's just finding ways to keep them involved, keep them going. Cause if you're a guy, you know, I got 13 guys. And if you feel like you're 13th on the list, you kind of just sitting back like, here we go again. Today's your day. All right, what drill you got? Let's set it up. Let's do it. Now you feel like you're part of it. Now you're in the mix. You know what I mean? So it's just different things that I do just to try to get them involved. You know, but you know, everything I do, I've learned from, you know, one of my coaches. You know, my coach in college, his name was Curtis Johnson. He was the receiver coach for the Saints. He's not there anymore. Shame on the Saints. You know, but you know, he's taught me everything I know about a receiver. You know what I mean? So I reached out to him. He sent me a ton of drills, you know, and, you know, things like that. I got all my drills. You know, I don't know why I did this, you know, but while I was playing, right, I got all my notes. I got all my videos and clips of all the stuff we did, you know, and I can go back to those things.
You saved it all.
My external hard drive was getting dust on it, right? Until I had to get it and dust it off and plug it in. And like all that stuff's there. All my one-on-ones, all that stuff is there. And then, you know, Clyde Christensen, who was, you know, my receiver coach for Indy for, I would say, about 8, 9 years, maybe 10. You know, he was a big inspiration on my career. You know, so I reached out to him. He's quarterback's coach out there with Tom Brady in Tampa. You know what I mean? I reached out to him and like, hey, all right, I don't know what the hell I'm about to do here, but I need some help. You know what I mean? Like, tell me what I got to give, what I'm looking forward to. You know, tell me, you know, so, you know, he gave me some drills and, you know, so I'm taking a little bit of everybody's stuff, you know, and that's one thing I do enjoy that I, you know, that I got a good base of people that I can call and that I can get advice from. you know, that can kind of, you know, lead me the way. You know, like I grew up watching Keenan McCardell, right? I reached out to him, you know, out there in Minnesota, like, hey, bro, like, I think I'm gonna do this. I think I'm gonna need you. You know what I mean? And like, he was receptive. He's like, man, absolutely. Like, you better do it. You should do it. You know what I mean? So like, I'm getting advice from him, from all these different people, man. So they keep me going. And whenever I feel like there's something I need to get or understand, I always reach out to somebody in my networking group.
Was there anything that coaches, that you saw coaches doing that you specifically did not like, that you will not do?
The one thing that's weird, right? The one thing that's weird, and we know this as players, right? The one thing that's weird is we sit there and we wonder, what is he saying about me when we, you know, when it's just a staff meeting? What the hell is he saying about me, right? So you sit back as a player, right? And it's just like when we were working together, right? We, you know, as a player, like we knew that was that fine line. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't gonna go that far. I mean, you know, I'm a toe tapper, but I ain't gonna go that far, you know. But there's no toe tapping when you're a coach, you know. So you sit back, you're sitting in meetings, and you just hear him talk about a guy like, damn, that was kind of rough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that was tough, you know what I mean? But you sit back and most of the times you see, you know, you hear the coaches talk about a guy, 9 times out of 10, they deserve it. Because when you sit there and you watch, I mean, you know, they're sitting, they're holding themselves back. They're not giving it their all. You know, whenever you put them in, they have some kind of mental error or whatever. You know what I mean? So when you're playing, you don't necessarily see it. You see a guy mess up, like, hey, man, you just messed up. Don't worry about it. Get it on the next one. You know, but the coaches, they don't look at it. Hey, don't worry about it. Get it on the next one. Like, dog, this is his third time this week. You know what I mean? We don't look at how many times you've done it consecutively. You know what I mean? We just think about it. Don't worry about it. Just don't mess up no more today. You know what I mean? But it's just one of those things where, you know, I try not to, you know, talk about anybody, you know what I mean? But that didn't last very long. It didn't. I am officially a coach.
Do you feel like you have to tell the people to their face those things too? Or do you think you have to be careful?
No, you got to be careful. You know, if I see you, you know, like, I would never go back and tell a player what was said to him, you know, about him in a meeting, you know, with the coaches, you know, that's kind of like.
Not that somebody else said. No, I'm saying if it's you, like, because that was a sense that you had as a player, like, I don't know if they're saying, what are they saying behind my back? You know,
I absolutely would tell them to their face. I think they should know. You know what I mean? I think if I'm seeing something, I'm going to let them know, like, hey, you started off good, but lately you've been lacking, bro. Like, you got to pick it up. I don't know what it is. I don't know if you're not getting any sleep. I don't know if you're hanging out, whatever, but you're not the same. I'm just telling you, you know, straight up, I don't take it for what it is. You know what I mean? But you need to turn it over, you know? So like, I'm definitely going to share something with them because I don't want any of these guys to sit back and think that, you know, everything's all good and smooth. And then all of a sudden, bam, you get hit with a whirlwind. Yeah. You know what I mean? So like, I'm going to try my best to help you to put your best foot forward as much as you possibly can.
Right. Here's where you stand. Here's what you're up against. Now let's see some work. Is that maybe one of the toughest transition parts? Because you've been one of the guys for so long. And now you're like on the other side where you have a responsibility that you didn't have before is like, you know, their colleague.
Well, not necessarily, because like when I played, like, once I got, I would say, grandfathered in when I was playing, or like once Marvin Harrison was gone and all that stuff, and all of a sudden I'm the guy in the room, and I had a young Pierre Garçon, you know, Austin Colley, and I had these guys. So like I was, you know, I'm like the big guy in the room now. So it's like I'm going to these games and guys were doubling me now. You know what I mean? So like if I saw Pierre Garçon slipping, I'm like, hey, bro, I need you. Like, I need you. Like, these dudes are doubling me. You know what I mean? I was once you, Pierre. I know what's going on over there. I need your help. So like, I didn't let those guys really slip too far. You know what I mean? Because I know I needed everything that they can bring to the table to get the double coverage off of me. And then as those years went on, then here comes a T.Y. Hilton. Now, here we go again. You know what I mean? So it's like, I never wanted those guys to feel like you know, they was comfortable, because at the end of the day, if they was balling, then that would be less stress that I would have to go through. You know what I mean? So I look at it the same way. You know, like I tell Michael Pittman Jr., like, hey, don't worry about it. You know, I'm going to get these other guys going so you can get the tension off of you. You know what I mean? So now you can kind of go out there and kind of play freely a little bit, you know, because going into a game, Lindsay, it's tough knowing that you're going to get doubled every single play. Like you've prepared all week. Right. And you like, man, I'm going to kill him this game. I know I always have a lot of yards against Jacksonville, or Tennessee, whoever, you know what I mean? Then all of a sudden you get out there, it's like double coverage, first down, double coverage, second down. You already know third down and what it is going to be. So it's like, you start looking at the other receivers like, man, what are y'all doing? like y'all should have 150 by now. You know what I'm saying? So it's just one of those things where, and you know, I understand it. And that's one thing these guys, I think they respect about me. They know I played the game, you know what I mean? And I share stories with them all the time, you know what I mean? Just to kind of get them an idea to kind of, because these guys, I mean, Paris Campbell is, you know, is the oldest guy in the room, right? And
that's crazy. That's a young room.
He's only playing 15. The oldest is 25. You know what I mean? So it's like, these guys really haven't had the experience to really see everything that this game brings. You know what I mean? So I share with them stories and what they expect and how things work. You know, I tell them stories all the time. Like, man, listen, y'all sitting up here talking about these, you know, all these meetings and this and that, whatever, whatever, even though I feel the same way. Right. So it's one of those things where I say, man, when I was there, it's like, bro, like we had so much more to do, right? You know what I mean? Like I bring up to them all the time, like, man, chill out, man. Y'all only got 14 padded practices. You can be fine. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, compared to when we were playing and the way things is now, you know, it's totally different. Then you hear them guys, you know, somebody say something like, man, for real, y'all had two, you know, like that. Like sometimes we had three. If you're on special teams, like, what, like you was out there all day. You know what I mean? So we sit back and laugh, and it's kind of funny. You know, I text them all yesterday, and they always get on me because I got an Android. So they're like, who is this with this green bubble?
Reggie, you can't be that guy. Then nobody can like any of the comments. You can't just like it, because then everybody gets eight messages. So-and-so liked the comment. So-and-so liked the comment. You should get kicked out, and they can't kick you
out. Don't like it. Say, hey, Reggie, that was cool. Or something like listen, like, so, you know, whenever I send a text message, you know, they all like, yeah, this is coach with the green bubble and this and that. And I sit up and tell them, listen, I don't want to see you flood my screen with all emojis. Like, I don't want to see it anyway. You're like, you know what I mean? But
Brad, you're sounding so old, dude. We got to tamp this down. We got to work on this.
It's been that way. It's been like, it's just a fad. It's just a fad. I don't like it. Listen, I can see when you like it. I can see when you see a sound effect. It says, you know, Lindsay, sound effect. Hey, I don't know what it says, but I can kind of imagine what it says, you know. But
why can't you just get an iPhone?
Why? For what?
For the group chat. Just for the group chat.
You sounded just like them. They, you know, they say, hey, coach, I think you make enough money to get an iPhone. You can get your iPhone. Like,
it could be like your coach's burner. Right? Like just for the team, I got an iPhone so that they will know that I am one of them and that I'm not going to flood their phone with 800 messages unnecessarily when it could just be a thumbs up.
Thumbs up. See, that's what I'm saying. That's all you want to do. Give me a thumbs up. Like, okay, just say, cool, coach, or whatever. Good.
So when you're texting back and forth with Ed Reed, yes, someone of your generation, yes, are no emojis, no thumbs ups, just like full sentences every time?
No, I mean, we'll send, like, we'll see an emoji here and there, but like, I've never heard any flack from a guy of my generation. Like, you know, probably because they understand. I don't know. You know, it's just these young guys, man. They all want to send all this different stuff and memes and all. I'm a meme guy too. I enjoy it, but I don't need to have a whole conversation full of memes and emojis. Oh, like texting my kids, man. I'm cool. I'm all right, man. They make fun of me all the time. They do. It's fun. They keep me young. They keep me young.
You are not old enough to be saying things like they keep me young.
Well, when I got a room full of 25 and under guys, I do feel a little older. I'm pushing 20 years older than these guys.
You and I are kind of like, we are the same generation. So let's not be too detailed about what that is. So now that you're coaching, because I would imagine there were CeeDee Lamb, you know, in the last couple of weeks or something said, you know, that you're one of the guys that he models his game after. I would imagine that in the past, guys like that reach out to you, right? You kind of like give them some, you know, they're watching your tape. You can kind of say like, yeah, here's what I was doing here. Has that changed? Does that change? Have you noticed a change in terms of your willingness or ability or, you know, the fact your communication with players that are not on the Colts?
Well, you know, I haven't had that just yet. And that's funny you say that. I never even thought of that. You know what I mean? But like most of the times when I do get that, it's like just a random place. You know, I'm just out of this random spot and somebody will say, hey, man, you know, I'm such and such, you know, like, man, I watched you on, you know, my coach had us watching you all the time. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, cool, man. I appreciate it, man. You know, so it never really leaves there. You know, I've had times where when I was available, guys be like, hey, man, I'm going to link up with you in the offseason. You know, man, let's do some work. All right, cool. You know, hit me up. But now I don't have that free time anymore. You know what I mean? So like, that's going to have to change. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things now. It's like my time is so consumed now. It's so involved now. It's like, I'm going to give all this knowledge as much as, you know, with all the free time to these guys and in the coach room. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to give them all the tidbits. If you don't have any tidbits by now, I guess you have to YouTube me.
Unless they're up for riding like 20 miles on a bike with you someday.
Well, you know what? It's funny. I just got through. I just got through. I shortened it because I started late and I know I had to talk with you. So I kind of cut it short. So stopped at 25. 25 was enough today. But
25
today
miles?
25 miles. That's easy.
That's short? What is not short? What would you have done had I not been waiting?
Today, my goal, well, this is the thing, right? So today is actually my second time back in 6 months because obviously I was in Indy and I haven't seen a road friendly environment in Indy just yet. First of all, they got all those potholes out there. I'll be flat every 2 minutes. But today I was pushing for 30, right? Normally I'm in between 35, 40. Miles. It's my best time to think, right? Whenever I'm riding my bike, I'm thinking about what I want to do for the day, what I want to do for the weekend with the family, whatever it is. So that's my best time to think. I'm just on the road, just riding, got my headphones on, and enjoy just being able to smell outside. You know what I mean? So it's fun. I enjoy it. I wish I would have did this when I was playing, you know, because now it's low impact. Obviously, it's not any, you know, pounding on your body, on your knees, anything like that. And I mean, when you get off a bike and, you know, your Garmin tells you, you know, you didn't burn 2,500 calories. Like, it's pretty, that makes you feel good. Rather it's accurate or not, I'm going to take exactly what it says, you know, and go with the rest of my day. You know what I mean? So I enjoy it, man. It keeps me going.
Has that always come easily to you? Or did you have to work up the endurance for that? Or
you definitely got to work up the endurance. Now, the way you really find out where you are, right? Because most of the times especially when I first got going, I was by myself and you really never know. You think you're that cool dude until, you know, a 50-year-old lady passes you up. You know what I mean? And you're like, damn, that she has a motor on that thing. Like, what is going on? You know what I mean?
She might have a motor on that thing these days, though.
She might, you know, but man, like, the older generation, they are the best. Like, they just keep going and going and going. I'm like, and then all of a sudden, you find yourself like, oh, I'm gonna catch up with her, right? I'm gonna catch, and you ride behind them. You know, that pride kicks in, that you know, that competitor in yourself comes out and you're riding behind him and you're looking down and you're going, you know, 23 miles per hour, right? I'm like, shit, I can't keep this up much longer. You know what I mean? You know, so it's one of those things. And all of a sudden, the rest of your ride is messed up because you've been trying to keep up with this old lady. You know what I mean?
Messes up your pace.
Yeah.
Trying to beat the librarian.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but when you ride with a group, and it's a lot easier, but it also kind of helps you out a little bit because we alternate going first and you kind of, you know, get the tailwind, you kind of hide behind them guys. So you ain't getting hit with all the wind. So it's kind of like a little strategy behind it, you know, but when you're by yourself, it can be challenging. It can.
Look at you all like Tour de France out there.
Well, no, man, you know, it's crazy. Like, so I was
drafting.
Oh yeah. I was like last year, I did 2,500 miles within the year. So like each year I was going up and up and I'm trying to do more and more. So it keeps me occupied, you know, but this year, yesterday was my first ride. And then today was my second. So I'm not going to get very many rides. And I don't see how the coats are going to allow me to have time to ride my bike. You know what I mean?
That won't make the calendar.
Yeah. Oh, it won't make it. It'd be tough, you know? So, but that's kind of my hobby.
If you had to squeeze in a ride or a cigar sesh, which one wins out? Only have time for one.
Man.
Depends on the day.
I would squeeze in a bike ride because, I mean, a cigar can come at any time. You know what I mean? So I was squeezing that bike ride, you know, just because I know, man, like I truly enjoy doing it. And then as they say, health is wealth, right? And I honestly don't feel like running anymore. Like I'm tired of running. You know what I mean? Like whatever I do, like when I was in Indiana, I do run and man, my knees and stuff would hurt and all this. It felt like I've been running, you know, 30 miles. You know what I mean? But I just don't want to run. I just rather get on my bike and just ride, you know, do a minimum of 20, 25 miles and keep it moving.
Did you pick this up? Now you say you ride with groups sometimes. Did you just find like a random local group? Like once you got into this, then you kind of end up at like the bike shop or whatever, talking to people, or like, how do you even find a group like that? Did you do it with somebody?
So the way it started was, you know, I got some police friends around here. You know, they got into biking because they saw me biking. Right. And these guys like, man, I need to lose weight. I need to do this. I need to do that. So I mentioned the biking thing to them and, we was at a cigar session. And,
Avi. Yeah.
You know, they all picked it up, you know, so whenever they had time or they was into it, they, you know, we all get together at least once, sometimes twice a week. And, we were ride. And then all of a sudden they started getting pretty good at it. And so now, you know, I would say, well, we all on the same level. Maybe I'm maybe just a tad bit better than them, but not by much. You know what I mean? So it makes it fun. You know, we all ride and we talking and we riding and we're laughing. And depending on how far we go, normally when I do like 40 miles or 50 miles, I do it consecutive. You know what I mean? And but with them, you know, we'll do half and then, you know, we'll stop and they'll get some Cuban coffee or something and then they'll go right back at it. You know what I mean? So, It's fun. But the thing about it, right? Funny story. I remember my first time riding, right? First time riding. I get to this red light. So, you know, I'm waiting. So this guy pulls up on side of me on his bike, you know, and he had, at this time, I didn't have all the, you know, I wasn't the smoothest looking guy out there. You know what I mean? He came up.
You weren't all geared out?
No, you know, he came up and, I mean, he had it all. He had it all. I mean, he was matching from head to toe. His outfit matched his bike and this and that. And he pulled up and he said, hey, you ride all the time? So I said, "Not actually, this is my first time, you know, first week or whatever. I'm just trying to get into it, trying to find something, you know, low impact, you know." He tells me, "Oh, I could tell." I say, "Well, I appreciate it, buddy. Thanks." Right. So then, as the light turns green, start rolling, right? You know, I'm trying to restrain from kicking him off his bike, right? So,
you're like, you want to go pick up a football?
Right. You know, we ride on side each other. He tells me, "Well, I'm just going to let you know, right? Be careful out here. This is going to be the most stress you put on your body. So be careful. I said, appreciate the heads up, buddy. Thank you. I'm going to go left now. Right. I'm going to go left. He told me this was going to be the most stress I put on my body. And I just looked at him. I'm like, all right, man, just scoot along, you know? So that itself, after that, you know, back and forth with that guy, I like, you know what? I'm going to get serious about this. I'm going to get serious. I'm going to ride all the time. I never forget his face. I want to pull up on side of him one day. You know, I just want to pull up on. So he still might kick, you know, he might kill me out there. But listen, I want to hit him with the same thing. You know, I'm like, hey, you ride all the time, right? Yeah, uh-huh. I ride all the time. I couldn't tell. That's what I want to say. I couldn't tell. You know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of guy. I'm petty like that. I can get petty sometimes.
Petty's great. Petty's good. Petty's fun. You and Ed Reed, really, really good friends. I see you guys posting stuff together all the time on Insta. Does he live near you? Is that the biggest relationship that you got out of football?
Yeah, you know, like me and Ed, we both got to the University of Miami at the same time. You know, we both are from New Orleans. We didn't know each other until we got there, even though we were like 30 minutes apart. So yeah, that's like you get two guys from Louisiana that's going into, you know, Miami that, you know, never really saw palm trees a day in their life. You know what I mean? So like it was just us, you know. So we grew together. We ended up being brothers, you know what I mean? And we was always close, you know, our families got close. You know, so it's one of those things where we always did everything together, you know, and it kind of went on and on and on throughout the league. And even now that we both retired, you know, so like he actually does live here at times, you know what I mean? Because now he is, I guess he's the chief of staff at the University of Miami. I'm still trying to figure out what that means, you know, but he is there. So, yeah, whenever he's in town, you know, we always hang and we go and smoke and laugh and talk and, you know, tell stories. You know, we still talk about when we played and went up against each other and just sit back and laugh. And like, I remember when we were in college and we was in our apartment, you know, we had a conversation where he was like, man, just think about like, what if we both was in the league and we played against each other? Like, how crazy would that would be, you know? And all of a sudden that happened probably 7-8 times, you know what I mean? And like, he went to the Hall of Fame a few years ago and like, man, that was cool, man, because I actually saw that just being developed, you know what I mean? And that was away from the football field. Like we'll be in the apartments or in the dorms and like we used to watch games without the sound on, you know what I mean? Like he just watching and I'm like, bro, what are you doing? Like cut the sound on, you know what I mean? And I'm like, you're not being a broadcaster. What you can look at TV and hear what they say, you know what I mean? But like he just had that tunnel vision where he just wanted to be focused and not worry about what somebody else says. Yeah. He just was looking at the screen and kind of pick out what was going on, you know? So like the kid was, man, he was amazing to be a roommate with. He's an amazing brother, you know what I mean? And whenever we do get opportunity to hang, we do it and we have a blast. I can say that.
So we're still waiting for your Hall of Fame call. I know it's coming, Reg. You know it's coming, right?
It's coming. I'm to the point now where, you know, like the first year I was a finalist, I was like, all right, I'm not going to make this, but I'm going to enjoy this journey. You know what I mean? It was at the time, it was only, you know, what, three, you know, receivers that was first ballots. You know what I mean? So I'm like, what makes me special? So, but I'm going to enjoy this journey. You know what I mean? And I enjoyed every bit of it. And then the second year, you know, and I get the phone call, right? That, hey, you didn't make the Hall of Fame, but man, whenever you're a finalist, you're 82%, you know, for the next year.
Is that what happens? They give you a pep talk?
Like, hey, man, you're 82% next year that you'll get in. I'm like, okay, 2%. Hey, that's a passing. You know, okay. You know what I mean? So, you know, the next year comes and then all of a sudden I don't get in the next year. You know what I mean? And it was kind of a, you know, it was a weird year at that time. You know, it was during COVID. So, you know, it was kind of, you know, weird. You know, and everything was kind of virtual.
That was when they were knocking on doors. That's when they went to people's houses for the first time.
Yeah, went to people's houses.
Did you know that they were going to people's houses?
Listen, I did not.
Okay.
And once I got word that they were going to people's houses, I started doing the math. I'm like, They're not coming to my house, Lindsay. They're not coming here. They would have came already. You know what I mean?
Because too many days had gone by?
Yeah. Too many days had went by. You know what I mean? So it was one of those things. And then they
called. How did you hear? How did you hear? No, but I mean, how did you hear that they had gone to somebody's houses or that they were going to houses? Did it get out that they'd gone to someone's?
Yeah. Yeah, it did. It got back to me. It was like, hey, man, such and such came to my house. You know what I mean? I'm like, but damn. I looked outside and like,
David's not here.
You know, it's there. You know what I mean? So, you know, I get the phone call eventually. And it's like, hey, man, you know, sorry. You know, you're going through this again, man. I'm telling you, it was really close. It was, you know, you was almost there. But I can promise you that, you know, next year will be a better year. I promise you I'm sure it will. Right. And I say, well, wait. Last year it was 82%. What is it this year? Yeah, what am I now? Am I 88? What is it? I'm going up. You know what I'm saying?
Gotta go up.
Yeah, you know, so then, you know, last year comes and third year in a row as a finalist, you know, and didn't make it this year. And actually this year, I was at the Pro Bowl, you know, doing some stuff in the NFL at the Pro Bowl when I got the info. And I'm sitting up there with all the NFL people, and I'm like, I think if I would have made the Pro Bowl, the Hall of Fame, somebody would have said something. They would have hinted something. Something would have happened. So I'm going around like, hey, man, what's up, man? Like, let me know so I can, you know, tell family, like I can prepare. And they're looking at me like, can't say anything, Reggie. I can't say anything. Like, hey, man, like these flights aren't cheap. All right. Help me out. You know, it's going to be in California this year. Like, that's expensive coming from Florida, you know what I mean? So, but didn't make it again. You know, I got, you know, actually, they actually walked up to me this time, like, hey, Reggie, sorry, and this and that. So I'm to the point now where
they told you in person this time?
Yeah, but they told me in person. But it was, remember this year, it wasn't David Baker anymore.
Right.
Right. So honestly, I don't even know who it is this year. You know, I don't know who it is, the new guy is. But, like, it was all of the Hall of Fame people that I kept bumping into. They're like, hey, Reggie, man, sorry about this and sorry about that. But, you know, like, it is what it is. You know what I mean? But, like, I felt sorry for, like, Torrey Holt, right? Like, man, I just knew he was a shoe-in. You know, like, the Super Bowl is in L.A., the Rams are in the Super Bowl. Like, this is great for football. Like, this is great for the city. This is great for Rams fans. Like, now all of a sudden I see him. I'm like, damn, bro, I thought you was going to get in. And he was out there. He's like, nope. You know what I mean? So it kind of, I would say it kind of leaves you bitter for like a good 4 or 5 days, you know, because that's all a talk be, you know, about the Hall of Fame guys. You know what I mean? So it kind of leaves you bitter for a few days. But after that, you're like, man, it is what it is. You know, like, you know, you'll get in. You just hope and pray that I just hope and pray I don't have much more gray than I have right now, you know, before they call me. You know what I'm saying? But just know whenever I do get that phone call, it's going to be a celebration. It's going to be a party for sure. So whenever that day comes, it comes.
Do you think, having gone through a few of those phone calls and then in-person conversation, I've heard people say before that made it more special when they did get the yes. Do you think that for you, that would probably be the case? Does it make you appreciate it more?
You would have to,
you're like, I've
actually, yeah, I've actually heard people say that shit before. I think they're full of shit. All right. I do, because you want that phone call that first time, right? Like, there's a difference when, hey, they say first ballot Hall of Fame, or, you know, man, he was nominated 5 times. Like there's a difference. You know what I mean? Like, and you don't want to be that guy that, you know, like, let's use Andre Reed, for example, right? Forever, to the point to where some kids that were playing in the league at the time didn't even know who the hell Andre Reed was.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like that sucks. That's terrible. You know what I mean? Like, this dude was a pioneer. This is one of the guys that laid a foundation for a guy like me. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, you just hope that you're not that guy. But for people to say it makes it more special and this and that, like, If a girl turns you down three times in a row, and then that fourth time she says, okay, oh man, this is the best one. You know what I mean? You just appreciate all those other times you told me no. That's bull. Don't give me that. You know what I mean? So you want to get in there as soon as possible. That's the plan. That's what it is. That way, you know, you can enjoy it as soon as possible. Like, but let's be honest, man. Like, we're going through weird times these days, right? And things are happening every single day. Shit, Lindsay, we don't know who's going to be here, right? We don't. You know, like some of these older guys that are getting in, right? Like these dudes are old, and you know, and you kind of feel sorry for them up there. Like, you're like, man, you should have been in there. You know, there has to be. I get it. You know, it's something to, you know, not letting a bunch of guys in at once, right? There is, you know, but like, it's got to be something else. You know, there's got to be, because we're getting guys that you know, up there and barely can walk, and this, like, how can they really enjoy it the way they want to? You know what I mean? Like,
it's a tough call, because I totally get it. Like you're saying, like, when there's a small group of people every year, it makes the event more special, right? You're exactly. Waiting for six speeches, you know, and that's it. It's not like an all day thing where nobody's going to watch it and it gets right. Diluted. Mm-hmm. But then also there is something that's kind of silly about, like, well, we know he's a Hall of Famer, but he's got to wait this many years, and there's this many people ahead of him, and that kind of stuff. Like, if ultimately we know and we all agree, and if all the voters agree, this person's a mm-hmm. Hall of Famer, then they should be a Hall of Famer right out of the gate, right? Like, yay or nay, not yes, no for now, but in 3 years, I plan to vote yes. You know, there's something weird about that.
And here's the thing. It's like, okay, so when I retired in 2014, right. And to me, the field goal post moves every year. You know, are they counting Super Bowl rings? Are they counting, you know, character? Are they, you know, we really don't know, you know, what it is that these voters are doing. Right. But when I retired in 2014, I was number seven in yards. No, seven in catches, six in catches, seven in yards. Right. And now here we are, 2022. I'm 10 in receiving yards and 10 in reception. So, like, I keep falling down and down and down, mm-hmm. you know, so every year it pops up. You know what they're going to say? Let me look at Richie's stats. oh, he's just, you know what I mean? He's at some point in time, right? You know, like, I thank AB for being AB, and I thank Julio for keeping her, because those two guys were the first, the guys that was pushing me to knock me out of the top 10. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, at some point in time, I'm not going to be in the top 10. And if I'm not in the Hall of Fame by then, they're going to keep looking there. Like, oh, he's just 12 in yards and 15. And like, it gets
But how many wide receivers are in the Hall of Fame? You know what I mean? Like, what? That's still.
Yeah. And it's crazy. You know what I mean? So it's, I don't know, man. It's weird. I enjoy it every year. I'm one of those dudes. I'm still appreciative of just being able to be a finalist, you know, but I don't want to be like, and which I respect the hell out of, I don't want to be Isaac Bruce being a finalist five times. Like, I remember sitting up there the year he got in, right? I was so happy for him. We sit at a table together at this function, and he's sitting up there and he just like shaking his head. I'm like, bro, what's going on? You know, and Isaac Bruce is a Christian guy and, you know, is hella respected. And I'm like, man, you all right? He's like, man, this will be my last year doing this. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, bro, I've been at these same functions for 5 years. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, it gets boring, it gets old. And then I'm sitting back like, damn, I'm like, I know I'm not gonna get in before Isaac. You know what I mean? Like, he's talking sitting these days. You know what I mean? So it's like, you just look at all the guys that's waiting, and you kind of look at the history of it and see who's been a finalist, how many times, and this thing and that's and that thing. You know what I mean? You're like, you're kind of like, okay, get him out the way. You know, he's good. So that's giving me a better shot. And now it's like, Torrey Holt is kind of like that guy right now. You know what I mean? And there's other guys too. It's like, you know, Hines Ward, like, he keeps getting cheated, I think. You know what I mean? Like, it's different guys that, you know, that kind of comes in and do their thing, and you feel like they should be in there, but they're not. They're not getting the opportunities. And, you know, my neighbor from across the street, Fred Taylor, like, dude, like, how does he not even be a finalist? You know what I mean? Like, so it's just, you don't know what the criteria is, you know? And then you get a wow in there one day, you know, like a Megatron. He comes in, first ballot, bam, he makes it. Like, damn, like, that was easy. You know what I'm saying? So it just, you just sit back and you just wait on your phone call or your knock on the door and take it for what it's worth.
Do you miss anything about broadcasting?
You know what I miss? The fellowship. It's no different than being the player, mm-hmm. right? Like, no, I don't miss football itself, right? I don't miss the sun. I don't miss none of that stuff. I don't miss training camp. I don't miss the meetings. I don't miss none of that stuff. But man, the fellowship, the sitting back, like us in the green room laughing and talking and just talking about life stuff, right? All we talking about sports. Like, to me, it was always like, it was like barbershop talk.
Yep.
You know, just sitting back and we're just laughing and talking about, you know, if this guy does this, or if they should trade for this, or they need this quarterback, or whatever it is. Like, that's the stuff you miss. You know, you don't really, you know, and to me, the broadcasting part, that's the majority of the time, that's what it was. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And it was fun. And, but, you know, things happen for a reason. You know, maybe it happened so I can be where I am now. I don't know, you know, but it is what it is.
You got the fellowship of the wide receiver room now.
I do.
And all the meetings, with the coaches.
All the meetings. Yes. Yes. You know, but I think it's going to be a special year. I do. Whatever it is, we're going to go out swinging. We'll go out with a bang. And I think these receivers, they're going to lay it on the line for me, you know, and I'm going to do the same thing for them.
Reggie, you're the best.
Appreciate you.
Absolutely one of my faves, and I can't wait to see him do his thing in Indy this year. Literally just drafted Michael Pittman as my wide receiver 2 in a best ball draft in the 4th round. Like the upside. Don't hate the idea either of having one of Wheezy's guys on my team to root for. I hope you enjoyed the episode. As always, if you did, it would be super helpful if you would take a sec to rate and review the show. Hit that subscribe button. I'm working on what I think will be a really cool episode for next week. So if you subscribe, you are guaranteed to have it pop up in your inbox. You don't even have to go looking for it. The NFL Roadshow is part of the SiriusXM Podcast Network. The wonderful Andrew Emmer is our producer. Marissa Rivas is the director of sports podcasts for SiriusXM. And Steve Cohen is the SiriusXM Senior Vice President of Sports Programming and Podcasting. And thanks to all of the aforementioned people for their hard work. Have a great weekend, everybody. I hope I'll see you back here again next week.
SiriusXM Podcasts.